The Leafs are on the brink of elimination. It's game four, do or die tonight for Toronto. Sheldon Keefe pulling out all the stops with a big-time roster shakeup. We'll tell you all about it today on the Locked On Leafs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day.
Your Locked On Maple Leafs, your daily podcast on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome into the May 10th edition of the Locked On Leafs podcast, your one-stop shop for all things Leafs. I'm your host, Mike DiStefano, from TSN 1050 Toronto Radio, also known as Al's Brother on TSN's Overdrive and TSN 1050's Leafs Lunch. Joining me, it's my co-host, Dave Morisuti from Sportsnet, also a writer for the NHLPA. If you're an everydayer who listens to this podcast, we appreciate you, but you'll already know this. But if you're new to the show or a first-timer, Locked On Leafs is a daily Maple Leaf-centric podcast. Be sure to subscribe for free. Wherever you get your podcasts from, sub up on YouTube as well. We got new videos dropping each and every weekday morning, Monday through Friday. It's all Leafs all the time here on the Locked On Leafs podcast, which is brought to you today by the Game Time app. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the Locked On NHL code for $20 off your first purchase. So if you happen to be down in enemy territory and you plan on going to Game 4 tonight to try and see and cheer on the Maple Leafs to try and stave off elimination, you can get $20 off your ticket price with the Game Time app. Dave, how we feeling, pal? Do you have any ounce of confidence that the Maple Leafs can keep the season alive?
Well, if you listen to a lot of the comments, not just in the YouTube comments, but just comments in general, many believe that the Leafs are going to pull off the Game 4 victory just to lose at home in Game 5. It would be very much a Leaf thing to do to win this to win Game 4 and then to lose the next game. But, you know, you kind of hear everybody talking about how improbable it is to, you know, pull off the 3-0 deficit and come back from it. We heard Justin, I listened to Justin Williams talk about it and how you have to have the whole team kind of buy into the idea that you can come back. So that's really it right there. That's the one thing I'm not sure of is, can this team mentally come together to pull this off? Because we know they got the talent, but it's never been about the talent. It's been about the mental strength of this team. And I just don't know if this team has that mental strength right now, because it's been apparent this series that is just not there right now.
Yeah, Jeff O'Neill says it all the time. Will over skill wins the games in the playoffs. And look, the skill's always been there, but the will has to be. The weird part, though, is the skill doesn't seem to be there right now for a couple of their big boys, though. And that's what is semi-concerning going into this game, because you thought that last game when the Leafs were in must-win mode that the big boys were going to show up for the first time in this series. And they actually played their worst game all playoffs, and namely Mitch Marner, who, by the way, Dave, doesn't care what you have to say, doesn't care what I have to say, doesn't care what anyone in the media has to say. He doesn't care about what happens in the media. He's not focused on that. He has no idea what's going on. Seems to always know that stuff's being said, but doesn't take it into account. Doesn't care what we have to say.
Yeah, Mitch Marner doesn't care by showing he doesn't care, but in fact, in saying that, kind of shows that he cares
a little bit. I think
a little bit. A little. My biggest pet peeve when athletes say that. I'm sorry, Mitch, but you don't say that. Like, I understand the questions being asked. You know what? You can say, you know what? We kind of care a little bit, because guess what? We put ourselves in this situation. We got to get ourselves out of it. That would have been a more respectable answer than, nah, we don't care with anything you guys say.
Well, it's what you guys say. We don't care what anyone says outside of this room, which, you know, the one thing that I hate about that is, like, you don't care what the fans are thinking. You don't care that you're disappointing the fan base, because that's who you should care about. Like, honestly, you and I don't care if he doesn't listen to us. He probably hates our guts. My guts he probably also hates, because I spew about him all the time on the airways on 1050. I could care less if that's the case. I mean, I think I have fair criticism of him. I hope he does not hate my guts, but If he does, so be it. I really, it kind of comes with the territory. But the fan bases are the people who he needs to worry about how they care. And if the fan base gets apathetic about this group, about this team, because they're showing that they don't care about them, not only with the words, by quite literally saying they don't care, but also by the performance on the ice, like we saw in game 3 against the Florida Panthers. That's where you get into a little bit of a pickle. And the Maple Leafs have a tough hill to climb to try and earn that kind of faith back with those big boys here. Like, I don't want to get into a post-mortem conversation already, Dave, but for me, it's pretty much, I don't know if there's anything that this group can show us that would change the mind of many that this team can't get it done unless they actually pull off the upset and the impossible and get it done and come back reverse sweep. It is very much unlikely. Only 4 out of 201 times has a team completed the reverse sweep down 3-0 in a series to come back and win 4 straight. Can the Maple Leafs be the fifth one? Who knows? Maybe they can. Do they have the skill level? Are they the better team on paper? Could I see them winning 4 games in a row? Absolutely, I could see it. But are they willing to put in the work and the effort to get it done? That is where I still sit there and question this group and question this team. And I don't know. I feel like I'm not alone in that sentiment. But, you know, they're still alive for the time being. And they'll have an opportunity to keep the season alive tonight in Sunrise and try and come back and put on a show in front of their fans. Because realistically, Dave, if they win one, they come home, win one at home, now all of a sudden it's 3-2 and you've got all the momentum. It does become a series. It really, really does. And it does start with one. Like, as much as that sounds like a cliche, it does start with one. You can't win the series tonight. But you can win the first shift. They can win the period. They can win the game. You win first game, second game, third game. You win the fourth game of this series. All of a sudden, you are in the Eastern Conference Final. So I think it does still have to be very much a shift-by-shift, period-by-period, game-by-game mentality. But there's got to be belief within the team that they can get it done, too.
Just a little bit of a history lesson. The last time a team came back from a 3-0 deficit was in 2014 when the Kings did it to the Sharks. The first 3 games of that series, Jonathan Quick allowed 16 goals in the first 3 games. And then in the games preceding that, the 4 games after that, he did not allow that many. He allowed, if I'm not mistaken, he allowed 5 goals.
In the next four games?
Out of the final 4 games. And then in the game that they won 5-1, Anze Kopitar, Drew Doughty, Tyler Toffoli, Dustin Brown, and Tanner Pearson all scored in that game 7. So a couple things need to happen. If you're looking for formulas here, goaltending has, like, the Leafs are not going to win with average goaltending. And that's a lot of pressure upon Joseph Woll, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. But it's also, look at the guys I mentioned for the Kings. Those were all the guys that took the Kings to that Stanley Cup.
Dave, if you're taking individually those players on paper, would you not rather have individually Marner, Matthews, Tavares, O'Reilly, Nylander, Riley? Like, would you not rather have that group of players?
Yeah, as a group, definitely.
Like, individually, as a group, that's a question mark, because a group, they've done nothing.
As a collection of talent,
yes,
I would take that collection of talent.
Right.
But that
just goes to say they can do it. They can. They have the skill level to pull this off. But do they have the will? Again, will over skill gets it done in the playoffs. And that's where the big question mark lies. They haven't showed us yet, especially in this series, that they have the will to really put their bodies on the line and you know, take that hit to make that play. You know, go out there and forecheck hard. You know, pedal to the metal 110% every single shift. Because at this point, season's on the line. It's go time. You can't leave anything out there tonight or Friday or game 6 or game 7 if it gets that far. From here on out, there is zero margin for error. Not little to slim. Zero margin for error. You lose a game, you're out of the playoffs. You're done. Season's over. And there's sweeping changes coming in Toronto. So it's, yeah, tonight's going to definitely be a pressure-packed situation. They didn't come through in a pressure-packed situation in Game 3. We'll see if they can right those wrongs here in Game 4. Before we continue, we're going to go through the massive changes to the lineup in just a moment here. You did mention that goaltending is going to be a big situation going forward, and they're going to have to get quality goaltending. Well, it's not going to be from Samsonov, who remains day-to-day, will not start tomorrow. Joseph Woll gets the net for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Funny enough, also worth noting that Sheldon Keefe said, never even a thought to start Matt Murray, which I was a little worried about it. I'll be honest. I was a little bit worried just based on the fact that that guy seems to have nine lives, just like Justin Hall with this organization. But I think they made the right call. So Joe Woll, rookie, but he's going to have a big-time opportunity to help get this team off the mat. And we'll see what he can do tonight. On the other side, Dave, let's get into the sweeping changes on the blue line. Also, the top six gets a little bit of a shakeup as well ahead of this game. But before we get into all that, how about you tell us about one of our show sponsors today, Indeed.
Yep, because there is no I in team, but there is one in Indeed. And that's the hiring platform you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. They streamline hiring with powerful tools that find you matched candidates. With Instant Match, your over 80% of employers get quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match their job description the moment they sponsor a job, according to Indeed data in the U.S. And of course, candidates you invite to apply are three times more likely to apply to your job than candidates who only see it in search, according to Indeed's U.S. data. They get one step closer to the hire by immediately matching you with quality candidates. Even better, Indeed's the only job site where you only pay for applications that meet your must-have requirements. Indeed is an unbelievably powerful hiring platform, delivering one of the four more times the hires than any other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest back in 2019. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your post at Indeed.com/LockedOn. Offer good for a limited time. So make sure you claim that $75 credit now at Indeed.com/LockedOn. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back into the Locked On Leafs podcast. It's Mike DiStefano and Dave Morosutti, your hosts here on the Locked On Leafs podcast. Thank you so much to our everydayers. You know who you are, who join us each and every morning. If you're new to the podcast, we also appreciate you giving us a chance. We've gotten a lot of new subscribers over the course of this playoff run. Hopefully you've enjoyed the content and will continue to enjoy what we put out here. And tonight, I guess, is probably the most important game that we could potentially preview based on the nature that it's quite literally a do or die situation for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I'm curious, Dave, because in a moment, we'll show you what the lines look like and the projected lineup and all of the changes that Sheldon Keefe has made going into this do or die game after clearly the mix of what had been happening throughout the series was not working. I'm curious if you think, before we break them down, does this have a scent of panic to you, or is this a smart move to put the lines in a blender here in a must-win game four?
Well, in a must-win game four, it looks like panic. If they did it earlier in the series, I feel like it's just, okay, what we're doing isn't working. Let's try to change something so that change for the sake of doing change, but just try to spark something because, you know, they haven't been able to score more than two goals in a game in this series. And the fact that they hadn't tried anything and now all of a sudden it's your last, you know, potentially your final game of the series and you're firing up all these different changes. To me, it's desperation because the Leafs are in full desperation mode, you know. You look at back at when the Leafs did game six against Tampa, they decide, okay, we're going to go with the 11-7. That wasn't seen as a desperate move. That was seen as, okay, we're going to need a little bit more of, a little more depth on the back end to get us through what we think is going to be a very tough game. That was strategic. This, to me, yeah, definitely screams more desperation.
Yeah, I don't know. I agree with you, but at the same time, I think it's also necessary just based on how things have gone for the Maple Leafs and for Sheldon Keefe and just not being able to get enough out of his guys. And I think that this is kind of what's necessary. All right, let's bring up the projected lines that we saw at practice today and talk about the shakeup that is afoot for Toronto in tomorrow's in tonight's game, rather. We'll start with the forwards, as we typically do. And we got a little bit of a shakeup here in the top six. Now, we've seen these lines before, and so you look at it like, okay, we've seen it before, but, Yarncroc, Matthews, and Nylander, we've seen success towards the end of the season. Those guys did have quite a good amount of success. Yarncroc and Matthews did show to have some chemistry, so getting them back together, I think maybe could be a smart play here. The one that still has me scratching my head, though, Dave, and I want to get your thoughts on it, obviously, Kerfoot, Tavares, and William Nylander. It's not so much Kerfoot. Like, yeah, most people sit here and just are probably vomiting at the fact that Kerfoot's up in the top six. For me, it's the fact that the season's on the line and Sheldon Keefe is going to go back to the well with the one combination that he know has not worked all season. William Nylander and John Tavares have not worked at all. They have been terrible together, and they just, for whatever reason, cannot play well. They always end up fishing pucks out of the back of the net, and they always end up swimming in their own zone, and they're unable to score as well. For whatever reason, those two just can't seem to figure out a recipe for success when they're out there, no matter who's on their line. But for whatever reason, with the season on the line, Sheldon Keefe is going back to the well with this trio of players that we've seen so many times, and so many times have they left a lot to be desired.
It does, and this is where I'm, there's small changes, but Sheldon Keefe isn't making the big change, which is we kept saying that Marner and Matthews feel like they're not able to work well right now in this series. And we saw Sheldon Keefe go away from them in the Tampa series. Like, a constant ping-ponging around with them, I guess maybe that's part of the reason not to do it is because they're constantly having to move those guys. But they've looked like the fact that those four, the Matthews, Marner, Tavares, and Nylander, haven't done anything in this series. I don't know how Sheldon Keefe doesn't look at that and say, you know what? Maybe we need to do something different here. And I don't know how that wasn't even discussed. That wasn't even brought up, really.
I'm sure it was brought up, but ultimately it looks like the decision was to keep with it. I mean, I don't know if you heard his press conference. Was it Monday? I believe it was Monday. He did a Zoom conference, and I couldn't believe the words that were coming out of his mouth. Talked about how he liked the third period of Matthews and Marner. Oh, you liked the third period, did you? The first two were terrible, and Matthews didn't get a shot on goal until about halfway through that third period. What the hell did you like that made you want to keep with it and go back to the well again in a do-or-die game four? I just don't understand why he continues to go back with these pairings. It just hasn't quite worked. I think something else would have been needed. I would have flipped Marner and Nylander. I would have.
I would have definitely done that. I would have even considered Marner and Tavares definitely works better. If you didn't want to have Matthews and Nylander together.
Why? They were great.
I know they were, but maybe that's the reason why he doesn't want to do it. I don't know. I would have liked to have asked that question. I don't get a chance to ask questions, as you can tell here.
So let me paint a picture for you, okay? Yeah. Matthews and Marner together when they're out there, Matthews and Nylander, when they were out there on the ice this season, they scored 73% of the goals, 38 goals for, just 14 goals against. Would you like to know the goal scoring discrepancy when Nylander is with John Tavares?
Oh, I'm going to assume it is much, much, much worse than that.
Only 18 goals for, 23 against, a minus 5 goal differential.
Not good.
With John Tavares. You're going to tell me that you see that there is a, what is this, a 24, plus 24 goal differential with Matthews and Nylander throughout the regular season, 73% of the goals, and the expected numbers also would indicate that they're very strong together. And you're going to say, no, I'm going to put him with John Tavares instead. It doesn't make any sense. Matthews and Nylander work together. Marner and Tavares work together. I don't know why Sheldon Keefe believes that he needs to challenge his players to figure it out by putting them in these positions. It's, if they want to be in better positions to succeed, wouldn't you think that swapping them would be the best? Like, that's what that's just what keeps going through my head, man. It really is a head scratcher for me why they continue to go down the road with these two groupings that just haven't worked.
And ultimately, if this does not work, if the Leafs don't pull this off, that's going to be one of the issues that is going to, if you're doing an exit interview,
it keeps not coming back in. I'll tell you right now. If they don't win this series, Keith's not returning.
No, he's not. And they'd be justified not to bring him back, right? Like, justified to do a lot of things that would have to be done if the Leafs don't come back. But, like, if you're going to do the post-mortem on Sheldon Keefe's tenure, it's going to be this, right? You know, I remember when he first came to Toronto, he brought Matthews and Marner together, and everybody was through the moon. Like, everyone was just like, hallelujah. And it worked during the regular season, but then the playoffs, it didn't work. And there was never that desire to change that. And this isn't the first time this has happened. It's not even the second or third time this has happened. And that's the frustrating part. And if Sheldon Keefe hasn't understood it by now, he's never going to understand it.
Yeah. Bunting, O'Reilly, and Achari, the third line, which looked pretty good. Like, when Bunting came back at the end of that series against Tampa Bay, that was the line in which they won in game six. And then Zach Aston-Reese checks back in with David Camp and Sam Lafferty. Hopefully he can keep up with those two, and Camp and Lafferty can continue to have the solid game that they had in game three. Now, they can't be the best players on the ice, because that clearly would mean bad things again for the Maple Leafs. But if they could be solid complementary role players and keep the puck out of the net and, you know, maybe contribute with a goal, that would be best case scenario for that fourth line. All right, we'll take one more quick break. And for those on YouTube, you can see what the defensive pairings look like. Big changes there as well, including one that includes Justin Hall being put, I don't know, to call it a favorable position or to call this a doomsday situation for Leaf fans. Regardless, we'll chat about it on the other side. But first, let me tell you guys about one of our show sponsors today, and it's our good friends at Game Time. Buying tickets to your favorite events, should it be stressful? Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all your sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. With killer deals on last-minute tickets for their best price guarantee, you can stop stressing over tickets and start getting hyped for the fun you will have. Flash deals and last-minute tickets are terrific. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. And Game Time guarantee means that you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets for the same section and row for lesser money, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Get images of your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. Buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two taps, and you're set. And they're sent directly to your phone. You'll never have to dig through your email to find them. Snag tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem code LOCKEDONNHL for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Welcome back into the Locked On Leafs podcast. It's Mike DiStefano. I've got Dave Morsuti with me, my brother from another mother. And Leafs in a tough spot, down 0-3. And Sheldon Keefe has pulled out the blender, not only in the four groups. He's got a brand new goaltending starting the game due to injury, I guess, with Joe Woll coming in for Samsonov, who's day-to-day. but he also made some big time tweaks to the blue line. Let's pull up what's going on with the blue line here, Dave, so our friends on YouTube can see what's going on. Riley Shen, you know, probably has been the, I wouldn't say probably, actually, has been the most reliable defensive pairing all playoff long, which is crazy when you consider, you know, Luke Shen was like, yeah, he's probably going to be a seventh defenseman. Maybe, you know, his feistiness, he can make his way as a sixth defenseman. We'll see what happens. And then Morgan Rielly coming off the worst season that he's had in years. All of a sudden, these two playoff come around and they kind of put it together. They've been very reliable and very good for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Brody McCabe, however, we talked yesterday about how brutal that pairing has been. They've been on the ice for six of the 10 goals against in this entire series. McCabe himself has been on the ice for eight of the 10 goals in this series. So it just was not working. Sheldon Keefe realized this as well. So Marner's not listening, but maybe Keefe's listening if he heard a little stat pack we threw out in yesterday's podcast. He's broken up that top pair. Brody and McCabe no longer together as a shutdown unit. Justin Hall moving up and will be on a pair with TJ Brody, who moves over to the left side. So TJ Brody, Justin Hall as your second pair, presumably will be their shutdown pairing in tonight's do or die season on the line game. Dave, your thoughts.
Again, if Sheldon Keefe is, if this is it for the Leafs and Sheldon Keefe, Gotta love that he sticks to his guns and sticks to the guys he always has the trust in. I just like that how Justin Hall, who comes in into the lineup for game three, he was very much to blame, along with McCabe, for that first goal by Duclair. Does not inspire a lot of confidence by those who watch, by those who look at the stats as well. Somehow, Sheldon, he's like, that man deserves a promotion.
Well, yeah, so you can look at it that way, but who else was going to take that spot? Ultimately, who else do they have, right? I don't think Liljegren has shown that he can step up and take on that responsibility as a shutdown guy.
Nope.
Are you going to try and you know, put Giordano out there? I mean, Gio right now, it looks like might not even play. Like, he's not really an option right now either. So ultimately, Justin Hall was really the only other option. Like, if you're breaking up Brody and McCabe, Justin Hall is the only other guy. You slide Brody over to the left, and you have Justin Hall as your only other right shot guy who has some sort of trust with the coaching staff in a shutdown role. Sheldon Keefe had no other options. No other options. He really, really did not. Now, I'm going to shock – nah, I'm probably not going to shock the world here because I have – spoken glowingly, not glowingly, but I've been a Hall supporter for a while. This partnership of Brody and Hall did have a decent level of success in the regular season. I know, regular season, postseason, completely different beast. I understand this, but when you do break down the numbers of those guys in the regular season, Brody and Hall, among all Leafs D partners who had 200 plus minutes together, they had the lowest expected goals against on the team, just 2.24 goals against per 60 minutes, while starting mainly in their own end. So that is a positive, positive thing. They gave up the least amount of high danger chances against per 60 minutes when they're out there on the ice as a pair amongst all other D partners who played 200 plus minutes together this season. That is a positive thing. So I believe that this pairing isn't a complete abomination as some people believe it to be. I think there is merit to having these guys go out there and try and do something. The real question is going to be, was it Jake McCabe bringing down TJ Brody, or has TJ Brody kind of hit a wall here? Because that is going to dictate how this pairing performs, in my opinion. Because if it was just McCabe who was putting Brody in bad spots, all right, McCabe's gone. Now, is Hall going to make better reads, better plays? Who knows? But at least we've seen Brody and Hall together actually play competent defensively. The numbers would suggest it. They've won 54% of their shifts when they're out there together, 54% expected goals when they're out there on the ice. So I will at least say that the underlying numbers suggest that Brody and Hall have won minutes and have been reliable in their own end. They don't give up a whole lot of high danger chances, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
but that's what the numbers suggest.
I mean, the numbers do suggest it. We've also seen the numbers suggest a lot of things and hasn't really come to fruition for the Leafs. So, I mean, yeah, you pretty much put the nail on the head there when you said that the Leafs really just don't have the options, right? You're not going to put Eric Gustafson in the top four. And it just goes to show, and I'm not making an excuse whatsoever with this statement, but how much different this blue line looks if Jake Muzzin is healthy and playing, because we know how good, like, Brody and Muzzin were really good in the playoffs last year together. The Leafs not having that really does, like, they brought in Jake McCabe to replace Jake Muzzin, and it's becoming a little more apparent that Jake McCabe has those qualities, but he's just not Jake Muzzin.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, I do think that this was something that was coming. They should have tried it in game three a little bit, just to see. I think they probably did a little bit, but it should have come a little bit earlier, because, you know, now you're just kind of trying to throw something on the wall and see if it sticks.
I would also anticipate some, in-game situations where we see Riley and Brody together as well. Like, I think that we'll see Riley and Brody get relied on. You know, they'll probably play a lot and often find themselves on a pairing together. So I think that's possible as well. So it's not just going to be Hall and Brody, and it's not going to be Luke Schenn and Morgan Riley. So, like, those guys, Schenn and Hall, aren't going to be relied on to play 20-plus minutes. They'll probably lessen those by giving Riley and Brody some shifts together as well. I'll say that. I would anticipate that to also be the case, six or seven shifts, four or five shifts throughout the game. We'll see how it kind of plays out, obviously. So that's pretty big changes to make when your back's up against the wall. But honestly, what else can he do? You know, like, they've lost three in a row here. Clearly the lineup that they were rolling with wasn't working, especially on the blue line. He had to make changes, and I think this is the forward grouping I do have a bit of an issue with the Marner and Nylander. We talked about that a lot, but defensively, I don't know if there really was anything else that he could have done. I think this is pretty much, I probably would have done the same thing defensively.
Yeah. I mean, I suggested maybe putting Riley and Brody together, but maybe Sheldon Keefe is saying we got to get TJ Brody on his strong side and not play him on the right side anymore. That could have been the reason.
Two good pairings. I think like that it's a deep Florida team, right? Like, they're proven that they've got someone against the Tkachuk line and someone against the Barkov line. And that third line's put in work too. So it's not like that's been a cakewalk. That Anton Lundell line with Luke Sorainen and Sammy Reinhart, I mean, they were, they've come up with some big clutch goals for this team as well. So they can roll three lines deep with the best of them. So you want to make sure that I think you have one of those guys on different lines. And I've got Riley, Brody, and McCabe all on different lines. You've got Schenn, Hall, and McCabe on different lines. Those guys can represent a little bit of size, I suppose. Hall, questionable, but, we're not going to go too deep into that one. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's must win. It's go time. It's time to figure out what this team is made of, because if things don't go well tonight, Dave, tomorrow's show won't be good.
No, it won't be good. And I don't want to get into that mindset right now, because it hasn't happened yet. So let's not manifest that right now.
Yeah, let's not. Let's just hope that they can go out, keep the season alive, get another game Friday. Maybe they can win that one. Because if I honestly believe this, Dave, you let me know if I'm crazy. But I think either this team, the Maple Leafs, are either getting swept or they're going to complete the reverse sweep. I don't think there's any in between. I truly do not think there's any in between. I think they either are getting, they're done, they're swept tomorrow, they'll fold up like a cheap chair, and that's it, that's over. Massive changes in the offseason will be made, and this will be a completely different organization, a different looking team come puck drop next year. Or they find a way to win tomorrow, they find a way to win in for on Friday, and they keep rolling it over, and somehow, some way, they're representing the Atlantic in the Eastern Conference Final. One of those two, I believe, are going to happen. You want to know why, Dave? Because the Maple Leafs don't have a B game or a C game. It's either all gas, no breaks, they're an A-plus, great team, put on great performance, or they're complete tire fires. So they're either going to completely fold up tomorrow, or they're going to put a pedal to the metal and go on a run that has only been seen four other times and complete the reverse sweep. That is honestly how I feel. Those are the only two outcomes.
And Florida knows where the Leafs are most vulnerable. Rookie goaltender, most pressure probably on any, really at this point. They have the leeway that if maybe they don't have their best game, they still got three more kicks to the can to try to win the series. Yep. And they have looked the better team for the majority of this series. Like, they have no reason to not be confident right now.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll see how it goes. We will see how it goes, and we will reconvene tomorrow after the game, David. That'll do it for us here today on the podcast. I'd like to thank you all for listening and supporting the show. You can subscribe to the Locked On Leafs podcast on all podcasts and platforms and receive daily Leafs content. Follow myself on Twitter at @Mickey_Canuck, @D_Morisuti. Also follow the show at Locked On Leafs. Go ahead, leave a thumbs up on the video if you're watching on YouTube. Comment down below. Are the Maple Leafs going to get it done? Do they get it done tonight and keep the season alive, or is it over? And if it is, what's next? What's happening with this team? Let us know in the comment section down below or on Twitter. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow. It's either going to be a terrific episode or it's going to be a terrible one. And by terror, I mean the mood. It will either be in a good mood or...
We're still going to bring our A game.
We will bring the A game. We're not the Maple Leafs. Regardless, we're bringing the A game no matter what. Whether we're bringing it with anger or bringing it with joy, an A game will be brought tomorrow for the show. But until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On Leafs.